This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين. So we're continuing with the hadith from Kitab al-Zuhd from Sahih Muslim رحمه الله. And as we explained last time, al-Zuhd is that distance that you put between you and the dunya, abstention from it, or abstention from what is harmful or excessive or indulgent from the dunya. So you take from it what you need and you leave the rest, and that is the essence of zuhd. So hadith for today kind of goes along what we were talking about last time. وعائشة رضي الله عنها قالت إن كنا آل محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام لنمكث شهرا ما نستوقد بنار إن هو إلا التمر والماء. She said رضي الله عنها, she said, we the family of Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام would stay a month without lighting a fire. It's only dates and water. Right? And in the following hadith, she adds, إِلَّا أَيَّأْتِيَنَا اللُّحَيْنِ, except if we are brought a little bit of meat. Right? I mean, somebody gifts them a little bit of meat. But otherwise, she said, رضي الله عنها, you would spend a month without lighting a fire in the house. So equivalent today of turning your oven on, right? Or microwave. So no microwave on, no oven on. Why? Because there is nothing to cook. And what do you live on? She said, "At-tamru wal-ma," dates and water. Unless, you know, occasionally maybe, once in a while, they'll have a little bit of meat. But just imagine spending an entire month not eating anything hot. The only thing that you eat is what? Dates. And then you drink water, and then dates, and you drink water, and then dates, and you drink water. And then it's day and night, day and night, day and night, like that, right? And no soul, no human being would be able to tolerate this unless there is satisfaction with the dunya and greater satisfaction with Allah and the akhirah. Because no person who loves the dunya, loves this world, will be able to live like this. Because you'll be looking at people around you and you say, why am I living like this? Everybody eats whatever they feel like. They have bread and they have meat, they go places. Why am I denied the dunya? So there is no way for you. And when she said, Alu Muhammad, she's talking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And maybe you say to yourself, well, he's a prophet, so he could do this. He's extra special. But she's also talking about whom? Herself. She's talking about the rest of his wives. These are women, right? Just they have the same makeup as everybody today. She's talking about his children, right? So these are not prophets. This is how they lived. So you cannot live like this unless the love of the dunya has diminished in your heart to the extent that you're not looking forward to it. And you're looking forward to the akhirah, right? You know how when you're fasting, as you are fasting, you're dreaming of food, right? Once I break my fast, I'm going to eat this and this and drink this and that, right? So why is that? Because the body wants it. And more than that, the soul also wants it. So yeah, you're denying yourself when you're fasting, but as soon as you break your fast, you eat whatever you like. But what if your fasting is fasting from the dunya? You know, you don't care about whether you have it or not. If it comes your way, it comes your way, but if not, it doesn't. And you don't crave it, but on top of that also, you don't feel sorry for yourself when you don't have it. Why? Because there's a greater breaking of fast, which is the akhirah. So again, if you want an example, let's say, for instance, that you break your fast today, and you only have dates. And somebody right next to you, they're eating meat. Whatever you crave, they're eating it. But you know that in 2 or 3 days, you'll be eating something far better than what they're eating. Won't that give you patience? You say, fine. Today I'm eating dates. He's eating something better. But in 2-3 days, the thing that I'm going to be eating is a lot better than what he is eating today. So that's fine. Expecting that great reward from Allah Azza wa Jal compensate for the scarcity of the dunya. So it allows you to take less of it because you're going to have more of the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you say to yourself, I may be hungry now, but I'll be eating from, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal, if Allah is pleased with me, the food of heaven. I'll be drinking from heaven. I'll be clothed from heaven. That's far better than whatever I have here. So you could sacrifice here for there. So that sacrifice is possible because of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is because of Iman and what He has. Otherwise, no one can live on dates only or renouncing the dunya for expecting nothing in return. There has to be something. And what is that thing? It is Allah's pleasure. Another hadith that also illustrates how little they had, and it comes from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, تُوُفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَا فِي رَفِّي مِنْ شَيْءٍ يَأْكُلُهُ ذُو كَبِدٍ إِلَّا شَطْرُ شَعِيرٍ فِي رَفٍّ لِي فَأَكَلْتُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى طَالَ عَلَيَّ فَكِلْتُهُ فَفَنِي. She said, رضي الله عنها, she said that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام passed away, and I had nothing that a living being could eat in my house except some barley. I kept it on a shelf or a cupboard. فَأَكَلْتُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى طَالَ عَلَيْهِ. I kept eating from it, meaning I kept taking from it. So it's some barley, let's say, in a sack. I kept taking from it and eating from it. That's the only thing that she has in her house. So takes and eats, takes and eats, takes and eats. قَالَتْ فَطَالَ عَلَيَّ. Until it's like it, a lot of time had passed and still it's not exhausted yet. قَالَ فَكِلْتُهُ. I weighed it. قَالَ فَفَنِي. Then it ran out. When I weighed it, it ran out. But as long as she was taken from it without weighing it, it kept giving to her. So there are a couple of benefits in this hadith. The first is that when he passed, alayhi salatu wasalam, Aisha in her house, what did she have? Sha'ir. Right? Only barley, nothing else. So nothing fancy. That's the cheapest that you could have. And on top of that, not sacks and sacks of barley. She said, what? A little bit of barley. That's what she had. That's what he left Aisha, radiallahu anha. And he is the best man, and she is the best wife. And this is what he left for her. But was she complaining? Was she alarmed? Was she distressed because of it? Was she? No, she wasn't. Because she knew from him, alayhi salatu wasalam, that a little bit is enough. That is zuhd. A little bit is enough. You could eat a little bit, just satisfy your stomach, not even be full. Satisfy your stomach, you're alive, you're well, alhamdulillah, you live to a next day. The next day, eat a little bit, you live to the next day, and so on. So they weren't greedy. They weren't obsessed with the dunya. They weren't living for the dunya. Where will I travel? What will I eat? What will I wear? How do I compare to other people? No, their minds weren't in the dunya. Their minds were in the akhirah. And when you're occupied, right, you will take with the akhirah, you'll take whatever you need from the dunya, but then you'll go directly back to the akhirah. Like, have you been maybe a person who's been studying for an exam? Right? Really overwhelmed by it. Did you care really what you were eating at that time? or simply that you're just eating something to keep you up. Whatever, just bring me whatever. It doesn't have to be tasty. It doesn't have to be even good. I just want to ingest something so I have energy so that I can keep studying, right? Because your focus is what? On studying. That's how something that grabs your attention in the dunya could take you away from food. It's the same thing. If your attention is really the akhirah, it can take your attention away from food. So she didn't really care about what food she has, so she wasn't alarmed because of it. Now, she is a human being like all of us. She will crave food like all of us, but she's not obsessed and she's not alarmed. That's what it's there. And that was satisfying for her, radiallahu anha. Now, the interesting thing is that this thing that he had left her, alayhi salatu wasalam, kept giving her as long as she wanted it from it. Like that barley, that sack, that little bit of it, she could keep taking from it and taking from it and taking from it beyond what is normal. And they say that is from the barakah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because that is what he left for her. But when she weighed that, the barakah went away. When she weighed that, the barakah went away, because now she knows exactly what is left. Before that, she wasn't aware. She roughly understands there is some. How much? She doesn't know. As long as she was using it like that, it probably would keep giving her. But because she weighed it, the barakah went away. Now, some scholars have said this is specific to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because this is because of his barakah. Some have said, no, actually it could extend to other human beings. Meaning what? Meaning when you have something at home, of course when you buy it, you know how many kilograms it is, right? You know how many liters it is. But when you have it at home, you don't really need to count how many pieces of cookies you have in this jar, how many kilograms of rice you have. If you use it without greed, without stinginess, there may be more barakah in it. But if you're really eager and you count, this is the number of cookies left, this is the number of dates left, there'll be less barakah. Why? Because of your own greed. So if you exhibit generosity in how you deal with your house items and how you give out your house items, then Allah blesses it. But if you exhibit stinginess, then there'll be less barakah in them. So there's a lesson in that for all of us. Not only rely less on the dunya and don't be alarmed if you don't have it, because those who are better than us had much less than it and they were favored in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So no one should say to themselves, because I am poorer than my neighbor or my brother or my relative, Allah loves me less. Because I cannot afford a house as nice as, or a car as nice as, or a dress as nice as so and so, then Allah loves me less. No. That's not an indicator. So not only that, but also whatever Allah gives you, you be generous with it. Generous in how you use it. Generous in how you share that with others. There'll be more barakah in it with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? The following hadith is similar to the first one that we encountered today. So Aisha again is that one that is telling us about all these experiences in the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Urwa ibn Zubayr, he talking to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she told him, Wallahi ibn Ukhti. She said, indeed, we used to sight the Hilal, and then the Hilal, and then the Hilal, three crescents in 2 months, like for a period of two months. And we would not light a fire in the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? So in the first hadith, she said 1 month. Here she said 2 months. We would not light a fire in the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, oh, my aunt, because Aisha was his aunt, because he is the son of Asma bint Abi Bakr. He says, oh, my aunt, what would sustain you? Because he was surprised, because he wasn't living like that at that moment. The rest of the people, when he was asking Aisha at that time, he wasn't living like that. So he was surprised, yani, oh, my aunt, how could you live like that? 2 months and there is no fire in your house and you're not eating any hot meal. How did you live? She said, Al-aswadani, at-tamru wal-ma'. She said, dates and water. That's what we used to consume. إِلَّا إِنَّهُ or إِلَّا أَنَّهُ قَدْ كَانَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ جِيرَانٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ وَكَانَتْ لَهُمْ مَنَائِحْ فَكَانُوا يُرْسِلُونَ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ أَلْبَانِهَا فَيَسْقِيْنَاهُ. She said, only dates and water, except that on occasion, the Prophet ﷺ had neighbors from the Ansar, and they had milk animals. So they used to milk those animals and share with us some of that milk. So he would feed us that. That's the exception. So whenever they would give that, they would drink that milk. Otherwise, it is what? A diet based on dates and water. And on time, sometimes, it is milk. Right? So again, that is an indication of how the Prophet ﷺ lived on little, and his family, may Allah be pleased with them, were satisfied with that. They weren't rebellious. They weren't seeking the dunya. They were satisfied with whatever satisfied the Prophet ﷺ. The following hadith also, similar to this one, Aisha said, لقد مات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما شبع من خبز وزيت في يوم واحد مرتين. He says he had passed عليه الصلاة والسلام and he was not full of bread and oil twice in a day. He did not have his fill of bread and oil twice in a day. Meaning if he eats it once, he doesn't eat it twice. Right? And here we're not talking about any expensive or fancy food. What are we talking about? Bread and oil. Now, perhaps, Allahu A'lam, the poor among us today don't live like that. Right? The poorest among us today don't live like that, simply on bread only. And bread only once a day. But the Prophet ﷺ tolerated that. And in fact, he chose that. And that tells you that when you were like that, the love of the dunya had been extracted from your heart. Right? Of course, did the Prophet ﷺ love meat? Yeah, right? He loved meat. So it's not that he had become non-human. He's still human. He has this appetite. He has this craving. But he's not working for it, and he's not living for it. You know how some of us live for food? Right? Like, what's the thing that makes you happy? I'm going to go out and eat. Right? I'm going to go out and drink. Here's the question. What if you cannot go out and drink and eat and drink? What happens to your happiness? If your happiness is hostage to eating outside, what if you can't afford it? Are you going to be miserable and sad? What if you cannot drink this ABC? You're going to be sad because of it? Tayyib, the Prophet ﷺ didn't live like that. His happiness was not derived from food and drink. Although they do influence our mood, right? No question. But his happiness wasn't derived or based on eating and drinking. So where did it come from? It had to come from somewhere else. Where did it come from? It's a connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And you know in the hadith where that's related to fasting, the Prophet ﷺ used to do wisal, which is something that is disliked for us. What is wisal? He would connect his maghrib to his fajr, meaning he wouldn't eat. Right? So when it's time for maghrib, he wouldn't break his fast. He will continue fasting till fajr and continue fasting for a whole 2 days, consecutive days, or 3 days. And the Sahaba wanted to imitate him. And he didn't want that for them, because this is special for him. And what did he say? قَالَ إِنِّي لَسْتُ كَهَيْئَتِكُمْ I'm not like you. إِنِّي أَبِيتُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِي He say, I spend the night with Allah Azza wa Jal. He gives me food and drink. Right? He gives me food and drink. That's not physical food and drink. Because if he were to eat and drink, he wouldn't be fasting. But what is it that the scholars have said? How did they interpret that? He says his proximity to Allah Azza wa Jal injects him with so much happiness and so much energy that it excludes the need for eating and drinking. Can you imagine that? Right? Excludes the need for eating and drinking. Just like, for instance, if you want to kind of approximate, bring it closer to home, if you're so happy, you forget to eat. Did that happen? Maybe somebody said, no, it never happened to me, right? But maybe you were so happy or so busy, you forget to eat. Huh? So he said he is so consumed in it that he didn't need to. He's aware of eating and drinking, but he didn't need to. So here, he wasn't full of bread twice a day. Right? Now, I mean, of course, you could try it just to, so that you would experience what is it like if I were today or tomorrow only eat dates for the entire day and nothing else, just as an experience. You don't have to, but I'm saying just as an experience, what if there is no meat? What if there is nothing? Will I still be faithful? Will I still be close to Allah Azza wa Jal? Will I still stand in salah in worship? Will I still pray? Will I stay be saying istighfar? Will I stay be close to Allah Azza wa Jal? Or will I be rebellious because I didn't get my portion for today? So the gratitude of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not about how much food Allah is going to give me today and so that makes me grateful. It was about something greater than that, which is his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, تُوُفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حِينَ شَبِعَ النَّاسُ مِنَ الْأَسْوَدَيْنِ التَّمْرِي وَالْمَاءِ أَوْ تُوُفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ شَبِعْنَا مِنَ الْأَسْوَدَيْنِ الْمَاءِ وَالْتَّمْرِ. She said, radiallahu anha, he says, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, that is the time when we got our fill of dates and water. Meaning before the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they didn't have enough dates and water. But towards the end of his life, they said after Khaybar was conquered, they had a lot more dates. And that's the time when we got enough dates. Before that, it wasn't enough. So even when it came to dates, it wasn't in abundance until late in the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is when Khaybar was opened or conquered. Following hadith also similar along the same lines, Abu Huraira says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ بِيَدِهِ مَا أَشْبَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَهْلَهُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ تِبَاعًا مِنْ خُبْزِ حِنْطَةٍ حَتَّى فَارَقَ الدُّنْيَا. He said, Abu Huraira, he said, I swear by the one who has Abu Huraira's soul in his hand, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not make his family full 3 consecutive days of bread made of wheat until he passed away. That is from his life, from the beginning of his migration, till the time that he had passed away. He did not or wasn't able to fill the stomach of his family with bread made of wheat for 3 days. So if they ate it, let's say, one day, or they ate it 2 days, they couldn't on the third. So again, it tells you not only about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but also about the condition of the rest of the Sahaba, the rest of the Ummah, and how hard it was for them. And the question always that you need to ask yourself is, why did Allah Azza wa Jal, right, have them experience that type of difficulty in the beginning, especially in the beginning of their hijrah, with all the possibility of outside attacks and inside betrayals from the hypocrites, but this with all of that and endangering their own lives when they go to battle and the lives of their families and the life of their kids and all of this, but it also was economically hard on them. The dunya wasn't giving itself to them. So why is it that they had to go through this? And if you remember last time, we said that Allah Azza wa Jal does this so that he would extricate, take out the love of the dunya from their hearts, right? So that they don't lean on it, they don't desire it, they don't want it, they have power over it. They can say to themselves, yes, we'll continue, we'll go out to jihad even though we don't have much. And we'll sacrifice the little that we have for Allah's sake. And we have no promise from Allah Azza wa Jal that we're going to live to see days of abundance and riches. None of it. So we will do this for Allah's sake and we will sacrifice all of the dunya for Him. So when the dunya means nothing to them and when they have power over it, that is the time when they have conquered it. And that is the time when they'll be ready to receive the dunya. Then Allah can tell them, here is gold and silver, but they already are past that. They don't care about it. They can take that gold and silver and it doesn't corrupt them, and they can distribute it. So Allah Azza wa Jal wants to immunize them, protect them from the corrupting influence of the dunya by distinguishing between those who are seeking the dunya and those who are seeking the akhirah. So he says what? Are you a seeker of the dunya? Some of you is yes. He says, I'm going to take more of the dunya from you. Now you have to make a choice. Am I a man of the dunya or a man of the akhirah? If you are from the man of the dunya, then you will leave Islam. You're a man of the akhirah, you'll say, I'll prefer the akhirah, forget about the dunya. They'll take more of the dunya from you. And you're still patient, then Allah had purified you from the dunya. You don't care about it, whether it comes or goes. When you have passed that test, then Allah says, now you can handle the dunya. But before it, it will corrupt you. Right? No. And Nu'man ibn Bashir, he said, he was speaking, and he's a Sahabi, and speaking to people around him after the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. يقول ألستم في طعام وشراب ما شئتم. He says, aren't you eating and drinking whatever you wish? لقد رأيت نبيكم وما يجد من الدقل ما يملأ به بطنه. He says, but indeed I witnessed your Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he could not locate enough bad dates to fill his stomach. He says, he's kind of contrasting. He says, now you have reached a level, a stage of Islam where you have conquered these lands where you could eat and drink whatever you wish. But I do remember a time where your Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he could not have enough daqal. Daqal are dates, but they're not just any dates. They are the worst of dates. And again, it's hard to really appreciate that, because the dates that we have are good dates, right? But the dates that they're talking about are dates that are dry, that they don't adhere, they don't stick together, so they're scattered all the time. So they are dry, and they are the worst of any category of dates. He said, even among that, he did not have enough to fill his stomach, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when we're talking about dates, we're sometimes talking about the worst types of dates. The dates that if we were to go to the market today, if we find them, we would never buy them. We would never buy them. But that was available to him, alayhi salam. That's the only thing that was available to him. And yet he didn't complain. And it didn't dissuade him from obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and giving da'wah and continuing to fast and continuing to fight for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you understood that a person like that wasn't living for the dunya and wasn't based on the dunya. And his love and hate and his happiness and sadness wasn't connected to the dunya, but it's connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. If it's there, he eats it. If it's not, he doesn't. Okay. No. In another hadith, I mean, a continuation of that hadith, and he's saying, Nu'man ibn Bashir, he's saying, and you have whatever you want to eat and drink, and you have whatever you wish of dates, and the kinds of dates, and butter, meaning that you could eat whatever you wish, and even among the dates, you have different categories that you could eat, but the Prophet ﷺ couldn't. And Nu'man ibn Bashir also, again, he said that Umar, he had remarked, and he said, Umar radiallahu anhu ibn al-Khattab, ذَكَرَ مَا أَصَابَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He had remarked and he said how much people are indulging in the dunya at his time. And he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَظُلُّ الْيَوْمَ يَلْتَوِي مَا يَجِدُ دَقَلًا يَمْلَأُ بِهِ بَطْنَهُ. I saw the Prophet ﷺ during the day twisting out of hunger, could not find enough bad dates to fill his stomach. So in a day, he ﷺ would be so hungry, his stomach would be twisting, and there would be nothing at home and nothing outside for him to eat, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he had to continue struggling with his hunger. Not even enough bad dates could fill his stomach, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it tells you that this is how much he had sacrificed, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how much the Sahaba sacrificed. So we take that sacrifice really for granted. Oh, so yeah, they were just strived and they pushed themselves, and they gave Islam to us, but you don't understand how much they gave up. And so any effort to bring Islam to the way it was, those who want to do this must endure the same difficulty. You with me? That anyone who wants to bring back the glory of Islam, it's not going to come back except through the kinds of people who will do this, who will withstand hunger to that extent, who will withstand pressure to that extent until Allah Azza wa Jalla sees from their hearts and their bodies that they love Him more than the dunya. And then Allah's victory is going to come. But do we believe that Allah's victory is going to come while we are comfortable, eating whatever we want and drinking whatever we want? No, it's not going to happen. Not until you endure a pressure similar to that pressure. And only then will the victory of Allah would come. All right? So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, وسأله رجل فقال ألسنا من فقراء المهاجرين. So this is in the context of people coming to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and they are asking him for money, right? Because he's a deputy or he is a prince or responsible for distributing money. So in the first incident, someone asked him. He says, أَلَسْنَا مِنْ فُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ. He says, aren't we from among the poor immigrants? Meaning like we deserve money because we are two things. مُهَاجِرُونَ, and that in itself is an honor, right? And also فُقَرَاء, poor. So don't we deserve money because of it, because of the honor of being immigrants, but also because of the need that we have, because we are poor. فَقَالَ لَهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. So Abdullah asked him, أَلَكَ مْرَأَةٌ تَأْوِي إِلَيْهَا. He says, do you have a wife? He said, yes. قَالَ أَلَكَ مَسْكَنٌ تَسْكُنُهُ. I says, do you have a residence that you seek shelter in? He said, yes. قَالَ فَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ. He says, you're rich then. He says, do you have a wife and do you have a house? Meaning like a shelter. And house, what do you think he means by a house? A house, right? No, a small place you live in, right? That's what the house is. So do you have a house? Yeah. Do you have a woman? You're married? He says, yes. He says, you're rich. فَإِنَّكَ غَنِيٌّ مِنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ. قَالَ, then that say, he says, by the way, فَإِنَّ لِي خَادِمَةً. He says, by the way, I have a servant. قَالَ, فَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُلُوكِ. He says, you're a king. That's the redefinition of what a poor man, a rich man means. So he comes and he says what? I'm in need. I'm poor. So he says what? You're married and you have a house? Then you're rich. You're not poor. Right? And he says, if you have a servant, right, then you're what? You're a king. Now today, maybe you don't have a servant, but what do you have? You have an oven. You have a dishwasher, right? You have things that could do what a servant is doing. You have a vacuum, right? So you are, or you become, a king, right? So that redefinition is important, right? That redefinition is important. Don't think when you look at yourself, I have nothing. I have nothing. Like, look at my house and how small it is compared to their mansions. Look at my car and how old it is. Look at those who have less than you. And really look at what they had, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba. And then you'll understand that you are far better and far off than that they were. So if you are content with what you have, you are rich, right? Whatever you have, if you are content with it, you're rich. If you are discontent with it, no matter what you have, you are poor, right? If you are content with your spouse, right? I'm talking about men to women and women to men. If you're content with your spouse, they're enough. That's it. They're fine, the same person. But if you are discontent, they're never going to be enough. Because this is how you relate to them. If you're content with your house, this small house of yours, it will seem like a mansion. Alhamdulillah, if you're constantly praising Allah and grateful that Allah had given you such a place, there will be barakah in it, and you'll be happy in it. Right? And it will seem like it's what, acres and acres of land. But if you are discontent with the mansion, it will look what? So small, it's suffocating you. So it depends on what you're content with and what you're not. It's all about attitude and being content with Allah's provision. And kind of connected to it, it says three men came to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. فَقَالُوا يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَاللَّهِ مَا نَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ لَا نَفَقَ وَلَا دَابَّةٍ وَلَا مَتَى. He says, oh, Abu Muhammad, wallahi, we cannot afford anything. By Allah, we cannot afford anything. We cannot spend, we can't afford an animal, and we cannot afford household furniture, whether it is something to buy or something to sell. So no household furniture that we can afford, no nothing to spend, and no animal. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ مَا شِئْتُمْ. He says, I give you an option. If you wish, you would head back, and I will give you whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla enables me to give you. Or if you wish, I will relay your affair to the Sultan, to the leader, and he will give you whatever he can give you. وَإِن شِئْتُمْ صَبَرْتُمْ. But if you wish, that's the third option. Or if you wish, you'd be patient. Because I heard the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam say, إِنَّ فُقَرَاءَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ يَسْبِقُونَ الْأَغْنِيَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ بِأَرْبَعِينَ خَرِيفًا. قَالُوا فَإِنَّ نَصْبِرُوا لَا نَسْأَلُ شَيْئًا. He says, or if you wish, you be patient, because I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, indeed the poor immigrants will precede the rich on the day of judgment with 40 years. They'll be ahead of them with 40 years. So they said, then we will be patient and not ask for anything. So these are people who came to him alayhi salatu wasallam and they said, we have nothing, can you give us? So he said, I give you the option. One, I can give you money myself, or the sultan, the sultan can give you money, the khalifa can give you money, or a person who is ever responsible for Baytul Mal, the treasury, or you be patient. Why be patient? What's going to motivate you to be patient? He said, because I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying that the poor immigrants will enter Jannah 40 years before the rich immigrants. So if you wish, you could be that. Do you want that for yourself? Because of that, they said, then we will be patient and will not ask for anything. Because patience for a few more years, okay, with that difficulty is worth it if you think about 40 years in Jannah before other people go into it. You understand what 40 years in Jannah means? Then this person hasn't gone into Jannah yet because they are what? Rich. And because you're rich, what delays you? The questions about what did you do with your money? How did you get it? And what did you do with it? So you're held back to answer those questions. And this person has rights connected to you, and you have rights connected to them. So you have to finish all of this before you enter Jannah. The poor person, on the other hand, has none of that. So they are free. So they enter Jannah first. So 40 years of living in Jannah before the rich person even stepped a foot into it. So they drink from it, and they eat from it, and they're clothed from it. So they say to yourself, is this worth it or not? Yeah. Because in another hadith, it says 500 years, not just 40. Another hadith, it says that the poor go into Jannah 500 years before the rich people do. So how many years on earth are you going to live as a poor person? 60, 70, right? Maybe not even so. Does that compare to 500 years in Jannah? No. So that's why any person who is poor in this life and you think that you have been what? Shortchanged, or you don't have what you deserve. Think about that poverty or having less of the dunya means having more of the akhirah. This is not to advocate becoming poor. Just like force yourself to be poor. No. If Allah gives you money, Allah gives you money. Take it, spend it in ways that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves, right? But if you happen not to be as rich as other people, despite your effort, if you happen to be poor, despite your effort, should you be angry? Should you be protesting? Should you blame your fortunes or blame Allah Azza wa Jalla? Or no. Why? Because you say, Allah Azza wa Jalla only took it away from me to give me something better. What is this thing? Is what the Prophet ﷺ had said. You will enter Jannah and get to enjoy all of that before the rich people do. So when you look at the rich, don't envy them. You have to feel sorry for them. Right? And if you have money, you have to be what? Vigilant that it's not going to hold you back. It's going to advance you, not hold you back. Now come on the day of judgment and, oh, you stole somebody's money and you took somebody's right out of greed. That's going to hold you back or put you in hellfire. So this money then is not a ni'mah for you. Ni'mah, it's a ni'mah for you if when you take it, you spend it in ways that are permissible and in ways that are recommended or obligatory. Then that elevates you. But if not, it's a curse, not a blessing. So when you see the rich and you see how they are squandering their money or they are buying with it what displeases Allah, don't admire it. Pity them. Feel sorry for them. That they're going to have to answer to Allah Azza wa Jal, why did you spend that money like that? Millions or billions of dollars. And feel fortunate enough that Allah had saved you from that. So even if it was only 40 years in heaven before the rich, it's definitely worth it. So understand that any misfortune in the dunya, if dealt with properly, is an elevation in the akhirah. Any decrease in worldly fortune, whatever that worldly fortune may be, is a elevation in the akhirah, if you are patient with it. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said that as an example. Because he was given the option. Do you want to live like a king or you want to live like a slave? And he chose to live like a slave, alayhi salatu wasalam, to have just enough. Because that's honorable. Right? So this is what tells us that you could have a lot of money. You could be a millionaire in the bank. But the way that you live like Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Money doesn't tempt you. Money doesn't change you. Money doesn't take you away from Allah Azza wa Jal. But you get it and it's in your hand. And when Allah says spend, you spend. And your heart is with Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, inshallah. So we'll stop here bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal. Anybody has any question? Nothing? Khair, inshallah. Atfadal, okay. Exactly. So the brother is asking, he says, when we explained the condition of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of how little he had, was that the norm of all of society, or did some people have more? No, some people had more, right? And evidence with the fact that the Prophet alayhi wasalam once came out and he was hungry, Abu Bakr was hungry, Umar was hungry, and then one from the Ansar received them and he gave them food. So obviously he had food that they didn't have. Or that the neighbors of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam who had milk animals and they had milk. So they had that with them. And sometimes they would give the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they had a little bit extra. So not everybody was at the same level of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but many were, but not everybody. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in particular, he was very generous. So even if he had something. So we know that from other hadith after Khaybar was opened, and he had a portion of land for him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would receive a lot of dates. So he would set aside what would be enough for his family for an entire year. So some people ask, then how come the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, had less even though he had set aside that much? They said because whenever somebody came and asked him, he would give. If any guest comes to his home, he would give. So he would run out, alayhi salatu wasalam. So some people would have more than the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, inshallah. Yeah, go ahead. Lucas.
Mentioned that there was like a hadith that says,
Naam, jazakallah khair, barakallah feek. So I mean to repeat that?
It's okay.
No, I can repeat it, inshallah, so everybody can hear it. So barakallah feek, he's mentioning a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, من أصبح منكم معافا في جسده آمنا في سربه عنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. So it says if somebody wakes up in the morning and he is healthy, معافا في بدنه, he is healthy he is secure, and also he has the food for today, it's as if he has this whole world, right? معافا في جسده عنده قوت يومه. So if you live and you have these three things, that you're healthy, you're safe, and you have enough food to eat for today, then you have everything that you need from this world, right? Everyone who has anything else, more than that, that's extra. But this is the basis of happiness. So if you just wake up today and you say, Alhamdulillah, I'm healthy, Alhamdulillah, I am safe, I have enough to eat, you say to yourself, what? I'm living like a king. So if you're satisfied with that, then the rest of the day, your heart will be open and the chest will be so open that it will be grateful for anything that you receive extra. But if you wake up and you just look at what is missing from your day, then you'll never be happy. Even if whatever, no matter what Allah gives you, you'll never be happy. So again, it's about attitude. So jazakallah khair for bringing this up. So inshallah, we'll see you bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla next week at the same time. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen.